Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the podcast. Thanks for joining us. Today's guest is Ashley Pockham. Ashley is an up-and-coming country music artist, singer-songwriter. Her current album, Never Say Never, her debut album, actually, Never Say Never, is out now. And her current single, Bulletproof, is storming the charts at the minute, and it's a really good song, so guys, check it out. This is a great chat I had with Ashley, to be honest. We talk about a number of different things, such as her influences in music, how she started, and how she's actually adapting to not being able to sing on stage like most artists are at the minute. So it was really good fun. So guys, check it out. Sit down, put your earphones in, grab a coffee, grab a beer, whatever you like, and enjoy it. So like and share, subscribe, your friends and all that sort of stuff as well. And without further ado, the extremely talented Ashley Pockham. I don't know why I instigate, say what I don't mean. I don't know how I got this way, I know it's not alright, so I'm breaking the habit. I'm breaking the habit tonight. Here we go, and we're live. Ashley, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure.
I know, it's great. So you mentioned before we jumped on, you had an afternoon off, a very rare afternoon. So it's, I can imagine it's been a bit crazy. So you must have been taking a lot of advantage of that sort of thing.
I definitely was. I spent a lot of time outside. I'm a huge coffee lover. Starbucks, that's my everyday routine. So, you know, I took my time today. I didn't have too much going on, and now here we are. So
I love it. I'm a big coffee fiend myself. I've just got into that. You know, I don't know if you know, it's an American company, the Black Rifle Coffee. The guys over there, the veterans, and they do like, kind of, they send you this coffee and it's amazing.
I have heard of it.
Yeah. And I've never knew that you could do so much with coffee. There's like a hint of vanilla in there, and there's like, I'm like, oh my god, my eyes have just went mind blown. And it's amazing. It's expensive getting it shipped over here to the UK, mind you, but totally worth it. Totally worth it. But I know what you're saying about the Starbucks. I'm a big people person, and I love sitting outside in the Starbucks and just watching people. And it's
absolutely. People watching, favorite hobby.
quietly judging everyone walking past, and it's like, what are you wearing? I can't believe you're wearing these shoes or these trousers. My god. So it's quite good. So Ashley, you've been incredibly busy the past year and a bit, really, haven't you? You've been dropping some new music, and everyone, it's been and I've listened to it, and it's absolutely fantastic. So do you actually get any time to yourself, sort of thing? Is this a rare occasion you get an afternoon off?
I'm kind of just starting to kick everything off again. I've been doing a lot of behind the scenes practicing, getting a lot of things together, seeing what set lists I like best, and a lot of things just thanks to, you know, everything going on right now. Yeah. So I'm starting to get back into everything and really look at some options. Just yesterday, I was on a phone call. We're kind of talking about some other online opportunities, because a lot of artists are still mainly focusing on online concerts and things like that, benefits, other cool things like that that I really haven't partaken into. So I'm starting to look into some options, since it seems, you know, it's hit or miss with the venues right now and the artists. So it's one or the other. You know, some people are out there playing already. Some venues aren't quite into that just yet. So it's been interesting. So we're still kind of testing the water, seeing what the best route is, and really just getting prepared, because after the album release on February 14th is kind of when all this stuff started going on. So I really never got to go out and promote it the way I intended to. So, just trying to figure out the best routes right now.
I know, it's such bad timing when it dropped in February and it all kicked off. I was actually chatting to a few of my friends are musicians and all that sort of stuff, and they're climbing the walls, because they love to go out there and do gigs and play to live audiences and all that sort of stuff. I mean, how have you been keeping with that? It must be so frustrating for you.
It is. I mean, the one thing I've kept doing, and thankfully I've had a lot of fans, friends, and followers keeping up with everything. I've had a lot of time for, you know, interviews like this. So I'm thankful for those, at least. You know, that's we're good. Still doing our thing from home and, different locations, and, you know, getting some radio promotions, talking to local radio stations. So I've not exactly put it all on hold. I've just been doing a couple other, you know, things to get my name out there. A lot of, you know, online stuff, just connecting with fans, You know, I'm not a huge Facebook Live person, so I haven't gotten on the bandwagon for that with the online Facebook Live concert, which is kind of why I'm thinking, you know, it might be time to do something out there, but I just might not be Facebook Live. So I've been trying to at least keep my name out there, my face, and keep connected with everyone since where everyone's at right now is on the internet. So
there's so much opportunities online. This is the thing, and it's a scary thing. Is it going to change? Obviously, what's happened is it going to change what's happened previously? Is everyone going to be online to start with, and then maybe live shows might be like an exception sort of thing, or especially rare? Hopefully not, because I love going to see live music. I think it's the best thing ever, and but a lot of people are a bit concerned of what's going on. So fingers crossed it won't get that bad. You know,
I agree.
So, I mean, you can imagine, I mean, that's a lot of people like yourself get into the music industry is because it's something that you love, but it's the main thing. It's like you can record in a studio, but it's the live venues. It's a live atmosphere and talking to the fans like really close, and you can get a really good judge. That's what a lot of people do it for, don't they?
Absolutely. I mean, it's, you know, being able to touch people in person. I mean, yes, you can turn on YouTube or Spotify, Pandora, pick one of my songs and play it and maybe feel something, but that live connection you can never really have. It's so much different hearing that song in person. And, you know, from an artist standpoint, you know, that's how we make our living. That's how we, you know, pay for all those recording studio times. And, you know, if we want to keep making the music, you know, that's a big part of how we make a living too. So selling, you know, CDs, merchandise, things like that. But if you're not really in front of a fan, you're kind of losing a lot of that face-to-face interaction. So you're really not learning much about that person unless you're reading about them online. So you're losing a lot of that connection.
Plus, you don't want to give all your money to all these online streaming services as well. They take a big chunk of it. You want to tell them to do one. Like Spotify and Apple Music, do one. I want to keep this for myself. Because they've been taking on, they've been taking over the music scene, and it kind of frustrates me. It's great, but it's just for an upcoming artist like yourself, it must be so demoralizing, because it's like all these things are just kind of taken over. What's happened to the old school way of doing things, you know? I think the old school way of doing things is a lot better.
I might agree. It's a little bittersweet, you know, having anything you want to listen to or hear at your fingertips right now, because it's everywhere online and you don't have to pay for it. So if I mean I'm guilty of it too as a listener. You know, I hear something for the first time on the radio, and I'm like, oh, what's this song? And I'll either write it down or text it to myself, you know, take a small portion of it and just record it so I can go back later and see who the artist is, see about them, listen to the whole song. So I do it too. I'm
the same. I'm more about it and I kick off about it, but I am exactly the same. I would be lost without my Spotify, you know, that sort of stuff. So I mean, actually, you're quite kind of early in your career at the minute. You're now starting to kind of take off great, and I love the story behind you. You know, you're kind of you kind of built yourself up from scratch, really, haven't you? You've not, because you see nowadays in the industry, you see all these like kind of manufactured bands and all that sort of stuff, and they're just kind of hand-picked, but you're different. You started from like the ground up. You built yourself up sort of thing. That must have been incredibly hard and a bit of ups and downs, I would imagine.
Yes, I mean, it's been interesting. You know, all my life, music has always just been part of what I knew was going to be my future. So I never had to really search for what am I good at, or, you know, what's my purpose here? Music just kind of found me. So that was the one nice thing that I knew what to focus on. But from there, it's really tough to know where to go, who you need beside you, and really what to do, what's next, and how do I make these next steps? So I was lucky enough, you know, I, like I said, the ups and downs, I've been through all of them. And there's, you know, a good portion of my life when I didn't do much with music. You know, it turned into maybe singing a song once every month and, you know, singing in the shower and just kind of letting it all waste away, unfortunately. So luckily, I kind of got myself out of that situation and started playing a lot more. And then I met the guys at the studio, my producer, Brian Cole, and sound engineer, Doug Casper. And since then, it was kind of like a clicking moment. Like, this is my now or never, this is my chance. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a little over a year later, after the project was complete, I was introduced to Michael Stover with MTS Records and started with him and that family in August. So just from August 19 to here, I've had so much going on. So I'm very fortunate.
Brian, you mentioned before that you said that you didn't really do much with music. What was the reason behind that? Was it just you just lost a passion for it, or was it just something you concentrate on other things?
Yeah, I mean, it was never a passion. It was, you know, right after high school, a couple of years, I just like to label it as life happens, you know, all these different things start to go on. And then, you know, you just kind of lose sight of the importance and lose sight of what you should be doing and take the wrong couple paths. But fortunately for me, all that kind of came back to the same, you know, I think I was given a God-given gift that needs to be shared. And I think one way or the other, it was meant to be. And honestly, I think I'm a big believer in things happen for a reason at certain times, because had this opportunity popped up 5-6 years ago, I don't think it would have worked out the same way that it's working out now. Although I would love to start this, you know, so many years ago, I just don't think the timing was right. So, you know, that's another thing. I'm very lucky to have had everything kind of fall into place at the right moments.
Well, that makes sense, really. You have to be really in the right frame of mind to do something like that, especially when you're coming straight out of high school. You don't know what you're going to do with your life sort of thing at that age, you know, and it's sort of like a defining moment of what do I do? What I need to be in that sort of headspace and mindset to get myself forward, you know, and I'm a big believer in that. I completely understand where you're coming from there. And it's once you do get to that kind of clarity and that epiphany moment, you know, and you could be sitting anywhere. You could just be sitting there on the sofa. It just goes, ting, I want to be this.
Right.
And it's like, wow, this is amazing. But I'm sure you must be incredibly happy that you actually went for that sort of decision, you know, and it's doing all that sort of stuff. Because you started off really kind of doing all the open mic sessions and all that sort of stuff, didn't you? And was that how you got discovered, is doing that sort of like the local gig scene?
Yeah, I mean, for the most part, that's kind of what I focused on, just to start building a local fan base, you know, really just starting to get out there and make a name for myself. I would sing some of my own songs that I had written. I would cover a lot of songs. And, you know, that's why once we did this album, it was kind of like, okay, well, now which direction am I going to take this? Because I'm not that cover girl song anymore, you know, I have to start building up a fan base that likes my music and the direction that I want to take my country future. So, working on it.
It's getting there. It's getting there. But you see, you mentioned you write your own songs. I mean, it's very, I love that. I love an artist that writes their own songs, especially because the music comes across very genuine and from the heart. And you can tell that with how they sing it, you know. When you write something, I mean, I'm not really a musician and write songs and stuff like that. So what does it take to write a song? Does it have to be coming from like an Adele or a Taylor Swift when they have like past experiences themselves and they write about their lives, you know? Are we in trouble of if a boyfriend breaks your heart, you're going to write a song about it sort of thing, you know? Is that the sort of kind of way you write songs, or is it just like from life experiences?
A little bit of all of that. It's Taylor Swift gets a lot of rap for that, but honestly, we all do it. We can label it how we want, but we all do it. So yeah, I mean, if I go through something, honestly, from a personal standpoint, I'm really not good with words. I'm not good expressing feelings like I am with music. And so for me, music is an outlet. When I write, it's, you know, if it is something that I'm going through, I'm very passionate about just writing how I'm feeling in words. And then there's times when I might see, I'm influenced by all kind of people, all kind of situations. So I might see someone, you know, going through something that I haven't been through, but I'm seeing it from, you know, from the side view, and I might write about it there, or I might have some random idea in the shower. I don't know. Like, I have all kinds of different writing processes. I don't really stick to one of them. I do always laugh though and say there's probably quite a few strangers out there that I've had influence a song or two and give me the inspiration for something, and I'm sure they have one.
So there's people walking down the street right now, and you've written the song about them. They don't even know it yet. When you become massive, and people start to realize, like, hold on a minute, is that a song about me? I was there that day. I can't. Well, surely not. That'd be amazing. Yeah. I mean, it's with the songwriting. I mean, does it take long to write a song? I mean, like your last one, like Medicine, for instance. How long did it take you to write sort of like songs like that? Does it take a few days or does it take a few weeks?
So Medicine I did not write. There's actually everything on the debut album I got from a lot of actually artists from all around the world.
Oh, wow.
But them are in Nashville. That was kind of a decision that we had made between my producer and I. The debut just kind of get, you know, bigger names out there, Grammy award winning artists and things like that, just so, you know, I can start on the right foot there. So God willing, I need to have a second album to get my own stuff out there. But, you know, for the writing process, a lot of them, you know, might take an hour.
Yeah.
And there's some that I still have unfinished from 6 months ago. And it's, I don't ever rush anything if I don't have the right words. I'm not in a position. I have quite a few songs. I'm not on a deadline right now. So I don't like to push anything too far.
Yeah.
You know, if I have a good idea, I'll write it down or something. And I'm like, oh, you know what? I think that goes good with this song. I think that's what I needed. And, so I don't like to rush it. I know some people will sit down and just try to write a song every day, a couple hours. I've tried that here and there. I can't say that always works. So it really just depends on the song and the story I'm trying to portray. That's all.
I know. To be fair, anyone that I hear that wrote a song in a day, I'm just like, how did that? You have to get that yourself into that mindset, because I do a lot of writing myself. And to do that, I have to be into that sort of like kind of mind set to be a writing, and I have to be in the zone, you know, all the time, because you can. I mean, there's times that I've sat there at the laptop and I'm just like, I just can't be bored anymore. I'm not in that. But I have to get the inspiration, and it's a long process. And a lot of people don't understand this. It's like, why have you not written anything for the past few weeks? Well, there's a reason that is, because of X, Y, Z sort of thing. And a lot of people don't understand it. So, but I think these people that write songs in a day are like, I don't know. I think they're like kind of not human. I think they're just like computers and they're not actually real. or they're not actually telling the truth. They're actually telling a few porcupines, a few lies.
I agree. If I had to look through all the songs I've ever written, I've probably only had maybe two or three that I've ever written in one sitting.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. What? I bet you, have you got like a big book, a big kind of like a journal that you can just jot ideas down all the time?
I do.
So when you're on your Starbucks outside, people watching, and you've got your journal there, you know exactly what you're doing. So if anyone walks past you and spots you, like, oh, that's Ashley Puckett, she's writing about me. Can I be in your next song?
I watch now.
Yeah, that's it.
My secrets.
I saw tricks of the trade. Don't want to give too much away. Just in case. So I mean, it's been a long journey, I can imagine, for you. You know, it's always a hard industry to get into, the music side of stuff. You know, is there any times you just sat there, and obviously beforehand you mentioned that you didn't really want to get into it. Is there any times before you just went, it's just not worth it? You know, do you have days like that?
It was never that it wasn't worth it to get into the business. You know, I knew it was going to be hard getting into it. And for me, I always feel like I was one of them people that had to get anything I ever wanted the hard way. So I'm used to that. So I knew, you know, looking into the music business as a whole, that there's so many great artists out there that never get their chance to shine the right way. So I'm just praying I'm not that artist, you know, and so far I've proven to say, hey, you know what, I have the right people behind me right now. I have, you know, the way I look at it, I think I'm looking at everything the right way. And if I just keep doing that, you know, I've accomplished so much just from last August.
Yeah.
Where if I keep going at it at this pace, that I can really get all the things that I wanted out of this career. But it is very hard, because, you know, a lot of the mainstream artists, you know, whether they got noticed one way or the other, they have these big record companies pushing their promotions and pushing all this stuff, to where on our end, it's a little bit different, on a smaller label, you know, really just trying to do a lot of stuff, on a smaller dime, you know, but trying to get the same big results. So, you know, I feel fortunate enough that I think we are doing the right thing. I think it's working out quite well. But that was one thing that I knew going through this, that I could never let my mind get sidetracked and say, this is too hard, because it's one of them things that the reward would be so amazing if I can, you know, push through and just keep doing everything little at a time like I've been. So.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Everyone sees the finished product. This is what they think. Nobody really sees the amount of effort and work that goes into the background of everything to release music. And it's starting to actually stop and think about it. And you're like, wow, you've got your studio time, you have to write. And then that's just the beginning part of it. And then you've got to produce the album, then you've got to kind of promote it. And promoting is literally like the biggest part of doing something like that to get yourself out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, a lot of people don't see that. They don't see, they're just like, well, why don't I hear that Bulletproof on the radio yet? And I'm like, well, some radio stations are playing it. I'm still working on a few of the other ones. You know, yeah. There's just a long process to all that. Even the studio, I mean, I'm in the business and I've been singing my whole life. But when I got into the studio and did this first debut album,
yeah,
there was so much more involved than even I thought. So, I mean, that alone told me, well, you know, I thought I knew a ton about the process, and a ton being like this much compared to everything else. So I can only imagine what, you know, the general fans would think. So
I can imagine. So how long would it take? How long did it take to like kind of record the album?
So for the 13 tracks, it took us a little over a year.
Wow.
Now we're, you know, some musicians I know probably just go in a couple of days and have, you know, no control over a lot of things. I really enjoyed every step of the process. I enjoyed being involved with the guys doing all of the instruments. Mm-hmm. I was really involved in seeing how they're mixing and mastering and doing all the edits. I just thought it was really cool. So I wanted to be a part of that. And I think, so I've heard a lot of people and artists kind of think that's the boring part. But to me, it was kind of intriguing just to see how it all comes together. So a lot of that creativity and, you know, different ways of doing things I got to be a part of, which was really neat. But we were only really working 8 hours for maybe 2 to 3 times a week. Whereas, you know, some artists might, you
bash
know,
it out in like a few days, day. Like 12 hours for the first 5 days and they've got an album sort of thing. Yeah,
right, that must right. be. So, yeah, we had a lot of creative processes, a lot of in-studio time. Hey, this will work, this won't work. So there was a lot of things going on within that time frame. It wasn't just, let's go in, cut the vocal tracks, and let's record the guitar. And yeah. We really made this as a fun project to really put my spin on things and make it my own. Because after all, I mean, it's my debut, so I wanted to make sure I was as connected to it as I want everyone else to feel.
Of course, and that means your kind of personality and you come out in the music as well, because you've been a major part of it. That's the main thing. You know, right. And I think that's what resonates with fans. I think, you know, when you hear something, a piece of music that's really, it's an amazing song, and you're like, I wrote this, I produced it, I was involved with it, you know, I did everything with it. And it's just like, you can tell, it's like when you talk to someone who's passionate about something, you know, this is what my main thing about my show here is, I love talking to people's passions. And when you hear someone talk about being passionate about something, you can really, it's so enthusiastic, and you can feel that sort of enthusiasm through their voice. And it's completely the same thing when music is as well, because you can tell they're so passionate, and you can hear Absolutely. It and hear it in the voice, and it's an amazing thing to hear. So when you read, what do you want to touch on? You said that you kind of tried to learn about the ins and outs of it as well. I mean, that I think that is the best thing to do, to be honest. You know, it's finding out about the business you're in. That's the best way to do it, surely. You know, it's like, I would imagine you probably have artists that just come in, do the vocals, and then they're off they go. They don't want anything to do with it. Just say, I'm off. But if you're sitting there listening and actually learning about the industry and learning about the editing and all that sort of stuff and the cutting and all that sort of stuff, that means that you could be able to do it later on down the line yourself. And it's so powerful doing that. I think that's the best way to do it.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, there's so much, I don't know that I could have that much patience to do that kind of a job. I'm not a patient person at all, but, you know, just the creative process is more important. Like, you know, say we go in and do a second album. I would love to even be more involved than I was before. I mean, there was a lot of times I wasn't there. But it's just cool to see how music can be recorded one day, and then you come in after day three and take this out, put this in and do this, change this. And all of a sudden it's almost like a completely different song. And then you're just emotionally involved at that point. You're like, oh my God, I love this. Or yeah, I really don't like this. Let's change it back. And so that kind of thing was some of the most fun parts, to be honest with you, of the whole project was those types of moments.
And it's the magic they create. It's just, you see a studio and you see all these little buttons and slidey things, and you're just like, I swear there's more kind of buttons and knobs and all that sort of stuff on that sort of panel than there is on the space station or a space shuttle going to space sort of thing. God knows what each one of these are, but it just looks so complicated and I'm just dumbfounded by whoever can actually understand that. So if you can understand that, Ashley, you're on a winner. You're onto a winner.
I've been watching some of their space station Facebook Live posts, and
it is great. I watched that. Did you watch the SpaceX launch a few months back? Was it last month? Was it?
Oh yeah,
that was awesome.
On the road, so I was the crazy person driving with my phone up on the corner here.
I was there the same. I was around my mates, and there was just like the space. She came bounding in, and it's like the SpaceX is about to launch now, and I was like, "What's this?" And I forgot all about it, and I watched it, and it's just extraordinary, absolutely extraordinary. We can actually watch it all the way up. I was like, "What? This is amazing. This is what life's all about." It's great. I love that sort of stuff and new technologies and stuff like that. But never know. Next time Elon Musk, you get involved with him. Say, hey, Elon, can you send my single? Can you play my music when you're up there? You know what I mean?
I just want to hook me up with a trip to space. I don't care if we just go up there and then come back. I don't need to go to the space station. I just want to go there and come back.
Would you not go to the space station, though?
I mean, I would if that was an opportunity, but I can't imagine.
Do you know what? I have watched far too many horror films and, like, kind of aliens and all that sort of stuff to actually go anywhere in space. I'm just like, no, that's me done. Going up in the air, flying a plane, that's good enough for me. Anything higher, I don't want to do it. You know, it's crazy. I think that's so scary. So you're probably braver than me, Ashley, to be quite honest with you. So you've done the album. The album's out. You've been promoting it. I mean, you mentioned about Facebook Live. Why not Facebook Live? Are you any gripes about that sort of thing? Because it's a bit of a main platform to get yourself out on.
Yeah, I mean, so I watch Facebook Live. I watch a lot of people do Facebook Live all the time. just personally, I'm a little bit more of a perfectionist. So I'm one of the people, I overthink everything, obviously, which is what I'm getting at. So if I'm going to do a Facebook Live show, I would rather do a recording, set up everything real nice in the background, make sure everything's perfect, and then put it back on. Because what happens after Facebook Live, our show's over? You just keep sharing it so people can watch it if they missed it, right?
Yeah.
So my whole thing is just do it right the first time, set it out there. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
I'm probably the only one that sees it that way, but that's my thought process.
It's probably because you put something in the background that shouldn't be there, and then everyone shares it. It's like OCD kicking in. You're like, damn that thing. It's like a plant. There's a plant, but it shouldn't be there. You're like, damn, that plant's back. I don't want to see that anymore. And I cropped the video. The
right way. Your face is like right up in front of you, or like you got this weird angle and.
I did a Facebook Live a few months ago with one of my friends on here. He's a guest in the podcast and stuff, and it was really weird. I was like trying to sort myself out. The first 5 minutes is literally of him playing on his phone, and there's me trying to kind of judge the camera, trying to go right. Let's go here. No, you can't see the backdrop. So I've got the backdrop here. No, you can't see that properly. And it's like, oh. But eventually I just went, screw it. I'm just going to go with it. You know, who's going to see it? Nobody's really going to care apart from me. But that's the main thing. So, I mean, that's the thing nowadays. We're talking about the online things like that as well. There is so much avenues out there for the online stuff. Facebook Live is a good one. You've got Instagram as well. You're quite heavy on Instagram as well, aren't you?
I've been trying. You know, I'm quite addicted to Facebook, but I know a lot of people have been, I think, more into Instagram than I realized. So I have been trying to, you know, spend time on both places. I even started Twitter a few months ago, so... Again, I still don't get Twitter. I don't get it, but...
No, I can't go around Twitter. I was speaking... people are always saying, oh, Twitter's the way you should get. Promote your stuff on Twitter. I'm like, I do not get Twitter. I like to... I don't shut up, hence the reason why I'm on doing these podcasts, you know what I mean? And I can't write. I can't be, like, was it 240 characters now or something like that?
I know it's limited because it drives me nuts every time.
Yeah, I can't be limited. You can't limit me. I've got loads to say and I want to say it and I don't want to be cut down and have like three or four, I just put it out there. That's why I like Facebook and Instagram, so you can put whatever you want on there and you can actually say it in long form. I can't get on with Twitter. I should really get myself in there and get in about it.
Because it took me a lot of people telling me, why aren't you doing this? You should be doing this. Are you kidding? You haven't done this yet. You're an artist. And same thing. I mean, we're in, you know, somewhat of the same business. So yeah. I think it's beneficial. One thing I do like about Twitter is I found this little widget for my website. So anything that I tweet actually pops up on my main page of the website.
Oh, that's cool.
So I have been trying to do that a little bit more, even though I'm not fully behind it, just because it saves me extra moves, I guess.
That's modern technology, isn't it? It's fascinating stuff nowadays. Fascinating stuff, you know. It's the VR things coming out now. Oh, it's crazy. But yeah, Twitter. I do like Instagram. I think Instagram's really good. I think that's great when you can go on live and you can do duets with people with that as well. I've seen a lot of artists doing the duetting and stuff. People on Facebook, Instagram and all that sort of stuff. I think it's great. It's another collaborations that you can do sort of thing. So,
I did my first Instagram live was with our local radio station, Froggy Radio.
I
couldn't figure out how to get on their live because I've never done it. And it was one of those, like, your face is like way up close to you because I didn't realize you had to do it from your computer or download the app, and it was just really weird the way it worked. But I'm still figuring out a lot of that stuff.
Every time I go on a Facebook Live, you know, when you join it, you obviously join someone else's live. There's a little button there that says request to become on, be part of the duet sort of thing. And I've never done it. I've always wanted to press it. I've always looked at it. Even though I don't even want to actually go on and be part of their Instagram Live, I just want to press the button. It's just looking at me, and I'm going, I want to press this. I really want to do it. Just to see what happens. I know what's going to happen, but I just want to press it. It's like someone get up to you, don't touch that. It's wet paint. First thing you do, you're gonna wipe it, and you're gonna touch it. And I'm just like that with this bloody Instagram Live.
Sit on the side; they won't see who you are, but your name's gonna pop up.
That's it. And they wave at you like, oh yes, do you want to come on live with me? And then you're like, I just wanted to see what the button did. Sorry. And they just look at you, go, well, you're gonna have to do something now. You're gonna sing with me. I can't sing. Too late. We're doing it now. Oh my god, what have I got myself into? It's just sort of stuff. That's what I'm like. I'm very impulsive. It's like with that sort of perfectionist like yourself. But the thing is, you think it's good to be like an artist? Do you think that's being like a perfectionist that you said before? Do you think that's a good thing or a bad thing? Does that hinder you sometimes?
I think it's a little bit in between. But if I had to pick one, I'd say it's a good thing. I have to be 100% behind everything. I want to be... you know, if I'm sharing it with everyone, like the work was one thing with the whole album. I was very picky if I didn't like something. It's like, well, no, I kind of liked it better this way. Let's just do it this way. And as long as everyone's on board and can agree with something, I would rather be 100% like, I think we did the best that we could on this. So that's kind of how I look at it. As long as I feel it's perfect, then, you know, I'm going to stand behind it 100%. If you can't say that, you know, it's really not something that I think the fans should be listening to.
Did you have a few arguments with the recording team because they were just like, this is good, and you're like, no, it's not, and they're like, yes, it is.
We've all had our moments, but...
That's a yes, then. That's a yes.
Honestly, that's part of what made the album what it is, because, you know, there are some things that I liked, there are some things that I didn't like on it, but then after you listen to it a few times, you're like, you know, I'm so glad we decided to just leave that alone. I'm so glad we decided to take that song in this direction.
Yeah, that's good.
But there's, you know, some things that I heard, I'm like, absolutely not. This can't be there. It's got to go. But, you know, it was really nice having so many perfectionists in the room. So I was lucky, that I was working with world-class people that just cared so much about how that project was going to turn out, because there were some times that, you know, on the other end of things, somebody else could have just said, it's good enough, we're leaving it. So I'm really glad that was never, ever said.
Yeah.
Just because of who I am.
Yeah, of course. That's a good, I was going to say, I completely understand when you put it like that. It's definitely a good thing. Definitely right. A good thing. So you mentioned the deal that you've got and all that sort of stuff. I mean, a lot of people are probably listening and going, how did you, just getting discovered in this industry is incredibly hard. What was the story behind that with yourself?
So again, like I said, it was a huge thing meeting, Brian and Doug, them two coming into my life and pushing all this forward was a blessing. Because without them, I still wouldn't be where I'm at. They had all the connections to, top songwriters and, musicians, both local and in Nashville. So we used a little bit of both. You know, they're the ones that had a lot of, hey, this is what you need to be doing next. This is who you need to be talking to. And it was from them that I actually met Mike Stover, and got in contact with him. And that's when we started talking. He was really liking what I had going on. And we thought it would be a good match, you know, to kind of start off and see what happens. And here we are. So it was really one of those meeting the right people at the right time. And that just kind of continued. And which is weird because I never said I was lucky by any means. I probably have the worst luck in the world. So
It was meant to be. This is the thing. This is what you say. It's meant to be. That's the main thing. Big believer in that. If it's meant to be, it will happen. I love that. It's a great story. It's a great, great something to think about, sort of thing. So Ashley, what's the future holding for you at the minute? You know, you've got the albums out, the singles out. What's the next thing? Obviously, a bit restricted in what we can do at the minute because of the quarantine instead of things. But what's happening next? What's the future hold?
I mean, I'm still trying to live in the moment with some of the things that have been happening. You know, we've been celebrating that Bulletproof just hit number one on the New Music Weekly charts.
Congratulations for that, by the way, I was going to say.
Yeah, there's so much cool stuff that has happened within this small time frame that I'm still trying to be, you know, aside from living in it, looking at, okay, well, what's next? So, you know, we've let Bulletproof ride out for a good long while. Not really sure what our next single is going to be, but I'm super excited once we start to talk about that and move forward with another one. I kind of just want to keep Bulletproof out there for a little while longer. It's just been gaining so many fans. People just love the song, and I don't know if it's just the edginess of it and the sassiness coming right from Medicine, which was a very soothing romantic song.
It was very I love Medicine. That was my favorite. I listened to that and I was like, oh yeah, that's good, sitting outside the sun with a few beers, just listen to that. Great, that's me. I'm sorted.
Yeah, I'm still living in the middle of, I guess, everything starting to happen and come true. And I'm still somewhat amazed that things are starting to come together like this. But, you know, I definitely have a lot more going on with this album. I know a lot of people are already saying, when's the next album coming out? Nowhere close. You know, I want to start building a fan base. I want to start really promoting myself as an artist and, you know, gaining more fans and friends that want to learn more about me and love my music, because I mean, that's what I do this for. So, you know, we are going to start putting together some shows. Like I mentioned earlier, we're going to start talking about some online shows even, or at least, you know, opening acts, things like that. You know, that's kind of my goal right now with my future, is really just pushing forward with Never Say Never. You know, we worked really hard on it. So I want to make sure it's shared the most that I can, and I get the most out of it. And I just hope everyone likes it and starts playing it.
Listens to it and get on the radio and all that sort of good stuff. Right. That's it. No, so I was going to say about the second album, people are so impatient. You know, you've only dropped an album not long ago. They want a second one already. It's like, come on, guys.
It's funny because I'm super impatient too. And it's just, you know, I think everyone has a vision of how they think we need to be moving forward into the next steps. And, you know, the vision that I have, I just think I need to focus on building people that know who Ashley Puckett is.
Yeah,
right now, you know, we are being played across, you know, quite a few states in the US, but, you know, it's not every state.
So,
you know, that's kind of a goal, you know, it's a stepping stone. And, you know, for me to achieve a lot of the goals that I want to, you know, I think I need that first.
Nah, not a problem. That sounds fantastic. Sounds fantastic. Well, Ashley, it has been an absolute pleasure having you on. Thank you so much. I'm sure we will probably cross paths at some point next year when you're big and famous. Just remember when you're talking about people, the podcast, when you were younger. Remember that? Keep in mind.
I appreciate you having me on. It was a lot of fun, so it was nice talking to you.
And I look forward to seeing a lot more Facebook Lives in the future as well. And
I'll work on it just for you.
There you go. I'll join it, and I'll make sure I point out there's something not right, just to kind of wait.
You have to. If I do a live video, it doesn't matter if it's a concert or just a 2-minute video, you're going to have to do that now.
Of course. It has to be done. Challenge accepted. There you go. So, Ashley, again, thank you very much for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure. Have a great weekend, and thanks so much for joining us, guys. Take care.
Thanks so much.